So again, it improved and then went down in 2016-17. So now the grant has spent 99%, so only underspending by 105 million at the end of 2017-18. So looking at the performance, most of the targets were not really met in terms of the new schools. According to what was in the business plans of the provinces, only few had met their targets. Like when they said, like Western Cape saying they would build three schools, they did build those three schools, and in Mpumalanga too. Others did not intend to build new facilities, and instead, you will see in the next coming slide that the money was mostly used for maintenance. And with regards to replacement, like Eastern Cape did not have any new schools, but in their case, they spent most of their money to replacing schools. Like in this case, they have replaced 6 of the 8 that were planned, and Gauteng replaced 2, even though they planned to replace 1. In terms of the maintenance, I think here most, like Gauteng, they have exceeded their targets. Also, Mpumalanga have made a target also of the maintenance period, so I think the bulk of the money was used here in terms of the maintenance. The other component that I indicated earlier is about also the capacitation to ensure that there is delivery on infrastructure. So there are capacitation plans, and there's funding, like 42 million that was provided for in the 2017-18 for appointment of personnel, permanent personnel in the infrastructure units, and they're supposed to have certain qualifications. So we'll see that in terms of the slide, about 315 posts filled, at least those incumbents, they do meet comply with the requirements, and we do have those that 41 that do not comply with the competency requirements in those positions. So on overall, we do have 135 vacant posts in this infrastructure units in provinces. So we're seeing slow progress in the Free State and Northwest with regards to filling of the positions. So in the main, the challenges relate to contractor performance. Also, the challenge that they're not being paid on time results in them stalling or abandoning sites. Poor contractor performance also has been a challenge for many, many years, which results in delays and poor workmanship on projects. And some of the contractors appointed do not have the appropriate grading for the type of infrastructure they required. Delays in receiving practical completion certificates from the consultants. So in most cases, we have seen a number of years projects being open, not being closed, because practical completion has certificate has not been done. Also, the issue of the community unrest and labor disputes, partly because not everyone was consulted, so consultation is key. Supply chain blockages also causes delay on project implementation, but in some instances also, as we had on at the committee, select committee on finance yesterday, that also, sometimes when the implementing agents do not follow the procurement processes, it results in these departments having irregular expenditure. Some of the challenges that have been raised, I think, in the meeting we had with Northern Cape yesterday and Limpopo. So in conclusion, this grant is a Schedule 4 grant which supplements provincial allocations, but over the past few years, we've seen provincial contributions dwindling. Hence, I think we see that we still have some backlogs in provinces. So the completion of new and replacement schools were well below target, but we have seen maintenance are performing better. So considering that, if you look at that provincial budgets were almost fully spent, I mean, only 105 out of the 10 billion, 10.4 billion was not spent, 10.5. So it just shows that there's a clear gap between expenditure and performance, because due to delays. So maybe most of the schools will be completed, whether it's replacement, they will be completed in the current financial year. Also, the issue that the sector needs to make sure that contractors with appropriate grading are appointed, And really, penalties must be imposed where there is non-performance, and it has to be made clear in the contract document so that contractors know that, I mean, they, this kind of delays or sometimes themselves overcommitting themselves to many projects, it needs really, they need to give preference to this project. Capacitating the SCM units with the required competence to manage infrastructure procurement is also important, and also proper consultation with all stakeholders, particularly communities, to ensure that we minimize the risk of unrest later in project implementation. One of the important key that seeing also is, I mean, it's seen also in the regulations, the strategic regulations, that the department needs to provide, to pay suppliers on time within 30 days. So I think that one also really it needs to be emphasized so that projects do not stall because of cash flow reasons. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Equa from National Treasury. Very important, on the members, slide 13 and 14, looking at the challenges, what is to be done, action plans. Thank you, Minister, you and your team. We gained some time here, so you are getting more time. you may address us.
Thank you, Chair. So the, did you do the presentation immediately? Sorry, DG.
Before you stop, welcome to our MECs that's present from the Western Cape. They are very lucky that I just walk here. The other provinces must fly here. And then hope and pray the flight's on time. The Free State is here. There's an apology for the MEC with the engagement in Cabinet and with the Premier. Pumalanga? Yeah. Where's Pumalanga? They say where the sun rises, but it's actually KZN. But leave it there, it's a beautiful province. So welcome to you, Minister DG, over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and the Honorable Minister and Honorable MEC. Chair, as you correctly observed, the three provinces are here. We have the team from the Free State led by the HOD, Advocate Malakwane, and the team from Mpumalanga, led by the HOD as well, Ms. Mahlasedi. Chair, I'm just going to quickly touch on a few points. The first thing is just to observe and acknowledge that there's broad concurrence between the presentation from Treasury and the presentation that we have prepared. So it's going to make it easy for us, because those areas that are even covered by Treasury won't spend much time on them. But just to emphasize the following points. The first one is that I'm sure, Chair, you would have observed, and honorable members, that the infrastructure rollout in the basic education sector, the sector meaning national department plus nine provincial education departments, seem to rely mainly on the two grants. And I think it's a problem. And the Select Committee on Appropriation, I thought it would be the appropriate place to raise this issue. Grants are usually interventions that are time-bound. And ideally, for sustainability, an important deliverable such as infrastructure must be firmly located within the equitable share. And the figures from the presentation of Treasury clearly show that that is not the case. That's the first point. The second issue is that Treasury has also raised the issue of challenges around the capacity of implementing agents. I want to confirm that. There is a major challenge. It's also linked to the performance in the two grants, and largely even in provinces that do allocate some money in the equitable share. And these challenges are also located within line function departments. And line function departments, I want to just indicate both provincial education departments of public works and even the National Department of Public Works. So it's a challenge that we are engaging with those departments, but it's a problem, because education department end up focusing on what is not on our core business. But if we don't focus on that, it affects our core business. And I thought it's a very important point, Chair, that I should highlight. The last point, Chair, relates to what we have done to try and deal with these capacity issues. Because of that, particularly basic education, we were forced to take over some of the projects and implement them as basic education instead of being implemented by implementing agents and line function departments such as Public Works. For instance, 61 projects we are implementing using the PSU that we have contracted in the department. I thought those three points are very important, and Mr. Mafuku will then run through the presentation quickly. The presentation is put together into two parts. The first part focuses on the two grants, and then the last part we thought it's important that we share with you the audit report that the President instructed that we carry out for sanitation as well as the costed plan, and to share that information with you. So that's what is contained in the presentation, and I hope Mr. Mafuku will take less than 30 minutes to go through that. Thank you.
This is a very serious matter, your last two sentences. Because this committee was part of taking Parliament to the people, report back to the Eastern Cape. Mindful of what the President also requested. So what you're going to share with us is extremely important. Please proceed.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Minister, and DG, and members. As DG has indicated, I'm going to glide through the presentation as indicated. The majority of the numbers that we have align with what Treasury just presented. The difference is just we are giving a little bit more detail, Chairperson, in terms of the actual numbers. Starting with the provincial the total expenditure, yes, slide 6, that indicates the expenditure per province in terms of the allocated budget, the adjusted budget, as well as the final spend at the end of the financial year. The total infrastructure budget indicates is the total between the equitable share as well as the education infrastructure grant. And as indicated in the slide there, the spending per province is indicated. Chair, we also thought that we should show you in terms of pictures the beautiful schools that we are building. This is one of the schools that we have built at Becky Zulu Senior Secondary School is in the Eastern Cape, just to show you pictorial evidence of some of the schools that have been completed through the RCD program.
Could you also inform us about the cost of it to build a school these days?
Okay.
In the fourth parliament, that was a very serious issue.
Okay, thank you, Chair. We'll try to do that. And even if I wouldn't have the actual details per school, but I will try where I can remember the actual spending per school. Now, the education infrastructure grant spending, the total spending on only the grant was 101% of the 10.6 billion grant in the 2016-17 financial year. And that slide 8, shows the spending per province. You would realize that almost all the provinces spend in totality their education infrastructure grant. And as DG and Treasury presentation has indicated, the underspending was largely on the equitable share. But on the grant, we have spent almost all the money, except for Mpumalanga with a slight underspending as well as Gauteng. This is the Thaba Phatshwa School in the Free State as well, as I indicated, just to show some of the pictures. Maintenance, Chair. Spending on maintenance also has improved quite significantly. Chair would remember that at the beginning of this financial year, CEM approved that provinces must allocate not less than 20% of their budget to maintenance. And the intention is that that percentage would increase over the years, so that ultimately we should be spending more on maintenance rather than on providing new schools. In fact, our target is that in the ultimate end, in the next 5 years, we should be spending 60% of our budget on maintenance and 40% on new infrastructure and additions. So it will be a gradual increase in terms of maintenance. This is one of the schools, Molepo. This one, Chair, I remember that the cost of this school came to around 30 million. That is one of the first schools that we completed in Limpopo. Then this slide gives the sector performance in terms of different deliverables. We have disaggregated our monitoring into 21 sub-programs for purposes of reporting, which shows, for instance, your new schools, replacement schools, maintenance projects, basic services, which water, sanitation, and electricity, additional classrooms, technical workshops, and so on. So that slide would show you performance against the targets that were set by provinces. This slide shows overall performance against those 21 sub-programs that we monitor against. Esanzeni is another school that was completed in the Eastern Cape. This school was built through the Adopt a School program, and it was completed early in this year. In terms of new and replacement schools, those are the schools that we have the targets per province in terms of the number of schools that were targeted to be completed and what was completed as at the end of the financial year 2017-18. Quite a number of provinces did not meet their targets, but most of those schools are in the final stages of completion, and they will be completed in the current financial year. So if you're going to look at in the next few slides, you will see the targets for the coming MTEF. That would show those schools coming in into this financial year and the next financial year, depending on when those schools are going to be completed. This is giving a little bit more detail per province in terms of the 21 sub-programs that we are reporting against per province in this instance. It will show you what was the target for each of the sub-program, what was delivered in each of the sub-program in each of the 9 provinces. This is another one of the schools that we have completed. Tuflech is a school in the Northwest Province also that was completed in the previous financial year. Now, what we have done as well, Chair, is to look at the different challenges, but what is it that the provinces, together with the DBE, are doing to address those challenges that have been identified in terms of providing infrastructure. So the challenges as well as the mitigation are per province. What we do every quarter, every month, is to engage as the DBE with the provinces to understand what might be the reasons that might have a delay on the program and what is it that we can do to assist provinces to move and address those kind of challenges. So slide 19 and slide 20 is detailing those kinds of mitigations and measures that we are putting in place to address those challenges. Slide 22, Chair, just indicates the budget for the MTEF. In the current financial year, we've got a budget of 9.9 billion going to 10, and in the outer year, we have an allocation of 11.4 billion on the education infrastructure grant. As I indicated, Chair, now these are the provincial plans for the 2018-19 MTEF per province. In the 21 sub-programs, again, we are indicating what is it that has been planned per province to be provided every year from this financial year up to the 2020-2021 program, for instance, in terms of maintenance projects, in terms of sanitation, in terms of grade art classrooms, and so on. This is one of the recently completed schools, the Steve Tshwete Boarding School. Chair, Free State was one of the pioneers in terms of building schools, but Mpumalanga has taken that baton and is leading in terms of providing very beautiful boarding schools. This is one of the recently completed boarding school in Mpumalanga, Chair. These are the provincial plans again, the provinces of Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, Northwest, and Western Cape, the targets in all those slide 26, all those sub-programs. I hope I'm not moving too fast, Chair. Okay. Okay. I should slow down then. Okay. Then we are going to slide 27. This is Duva Primary School in the Egangala district, completed through the Education Infrastructure Grant in Mpumalanga. It's one of the very beautiful schools that were built by the Mpumalanga province through the grant. Now, moving into the accelerated school, slide 28. Are we... We added a few pictures, then it mixed them. Apologies, Chair. Yes. Okay, let's go to...
members, let's focus on the content.
Okay, let's focus on the content. Apologies, Chair. We just added one or two pictures just to whet your appetite. Yeah. Okay, let's move then to the slide that shows the inappropriate structures, progress on the inappropriate structures. Right, 202 projects have been completed to date. Those are the replacement of inappropriate structures, your so-called MAC schools, Chair. We also just need to add that that is at the end of the financial year. Additional two schools have been completed again in the last month. So the schools completed now are 204. But that slide shows the pipeline in terms of where the different projects are. You have projects that are at planning, projects that are at procurement. You've got 66 projects that are at 25%. Then you've got 10 projects that are at 75%. So as we report on a quarterly basis, we show the movement from the different stages, the progress that is being made with regards to the completion or to the movement towards completion in those different projects. It is the same with your sanitation projects. It will show you that, for instance, the number of projects completed on the ASIDI program with regards to sanitation is 468, but you have projects at the different stages. You've got a total of 422 projects that are at construction. Then those that are at construction are disaggregated even further to show where at what stage in terms of construction those particular projects are. So out of the 422 sanitation projects, for instance, 112 of those are at more than 75% progress. The same thing with water. You have 681 projects that are completed. You have 446 projects that are at construction. Out of that 446 projects, 148 of those projects are at more than 75% completion. The same thing with electricity. Electricity, we have completed the number of schools that were allocated on the ASIDI program. So what we are currently doing is to close out those projects. We still have 21 projects, but I need to indicate that those 21 projects have reached completion, but because we have not closed out and received the practical completion certificate, those projects are still being indicated as not yet completed, but we have completed this part of the program on the ASIDI program. This slide now shows you the expenditure over the years on the ASIDI program. Importantly, just to show you the last row there, in the last financial year, 2017-18, ASIDI slightly overspent. We overspent by about 31 million, which translates to about 2% over expenditure. This is a significant improvement on the ASIDI program in the last financial year. The next slide, Chair, just show you in detail the expenditure in the current financial, in the last financial year, as against the total expenditure on the program since inception, which shows that, as the previous slide indicated, we spent about 1.7 billion, but in totality since inception, the program has spent about 9.6 billion. Then finally is the budget on the ACIDI program. We've got an allocation of 1.4 billion in the current financial year, which goes down to about 1.3 and to 969,036 million in the last financial year, in the outer year 2020-2021. Chair, as DG has indicated, we thought that we should also brief you on the audit in terms of sanitation.
Yes.
Now, just to give a brief background, the challenge that we are dealing with in terms of sanitation is one, schools without sanitation, schools with pit toilets, schools that were provided with proper sanitation, but the pit toilets were not demolished or decommissioned as they were supposed to. Then you have schools with inadequate sanitation, that is improper sanitation, your corrugated iron and so on. Then you've got sanitation that is not fit for purpose. This specifically refers to your grade R sanitation for the small learners, because they do not have to use the same big toilet seat as the older ones. And then finally, you've got schools with insufficient sanitation. This one refers to schools where you do not have enough toilet seat to accommodate the number of learners. Specifically, we have this challenge in provinces of Gauteng and Western Cape, where you have the influx of learners. So a school was built for 500 learners, but because of the movement of learners, the school is now accommodating 1,000 learners, but the toilets still accommodate 500 learners. So that's what we are talking about in terms of insufficient sanitation. The audit that was conducted by provinces is work in progress, and we are working on a daily basis to clean these numbers, but the numbers as they are, the first column after the column on provinces shows the number of schools where there is one form or another of a sanitation issue. It might be the school does not have enough, does have pit toilets, or it does not have enough toilets, or it has, does not have enough grade R toilets. So if a school has got some form of a challenge, it is part of this number, the 9,700. Now, the next column would show you the schools with pit latrines only and unacceptable sanitation. Now, this is our first priority in terms of this particular challenge. Those schools that do not have, or that still have pit toilets, we've got 4,100 such schools where you do not have any other form of a toilet. It's only a pit toilet in the school. Then you have schools with a combination of proper sanitation, but pit toilets were not demolished. So those, you've got around 3,066 of those schools. Then you've got schools that still need to be provided with grade R. Now, these are not the number of seats. The number that I'm giving is not the number of seats. It's the number of schools where you have a challenge. Then those are 7,302 schools where we still have to provide some form of grade R toilets. And then you've got 6,226 schools where you have insufficient sanitation, where we need to provide additional toilet seats. The school have got proper sanitation, but the toilet seats are not sufficient in terms of the learner numbers in that particular school. So, Chair, what we have been doing is that the provinces submitted an audit, and on basis of that audit, the numbers that I have given, our team did an exercise in terms of costing, how much it will cost to provide for that backlog that we have presented. And in terms of the costing, we removed the number of or the projects that are currently being done in the current financial year by the provinces through the EIG, as well as the projects that we are doing through the ANCD program. Now, the rationale for costing is that, and if you look at the numbers, especially in terms of schools with pit toilets, almost all the provinces that have pit toilets are schools, are your rural provinces. The majority of those are in Eastern Cape, Limpopo, the Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and KZN, with Mpumalanga following, and you've got quite a few in Free State and the Northwest Province, as well as the Northern Cape. You do not have any pit toilets in Western Cape and Gauteng provinces, but as I indicated, you have a lot of shortages in those two provinces in terms of learner numbers not being aligned with the number of toilets that have been provided. So the costing exercise that we did was that for purposes of this, these toilets will be built with brick and mortar, and it will generally be dry sanitation. Dry sanitation means that you do not have water reticulation, so you'd be using what we refer to as VIP toilets. Now, so these are the assumptions that we are making, and we are still discussing with a lot of service providers, for instance, to look at alternative technology in terms of providing these kinds of facilities very quickly. These are some of the issues that we are dealing with. When we talk about dry sanitation, these pictures try to show you what we are talking about. The picture on the left is your Enviro loo, and the picture on your right is what we call a VIP toilet. Then you have a waterborne sanitation on the bottom left. Now, there is always a misperception, if I'm using the right word, that VIP toilets are not a proper sanitation facility. But we just put these pictures to show that, for instance, when you build a VIP toilet, the pit has to be lined properly and reinforced so that you do not have what you put into the toilet seeping down and contaminating groundwater. So a VIP toilet is a toilet, a type of sanitation that has been approved by the World Health Organization, as well as our CSIR and all our regulatory bodies in the country. So what we do, we provide a tank for hand wash basin for washing of hands by the learners. But you also have a VIP toilet, an EnviroLoo on the other side. An EnviroLoo is a patent kind of sanitation that has got this pipe that takes out the smell out of the toilet and keeps it clean. Now, in terms of how much it will cost, what we did was to look at only how much it will cost to provide the sanitation in terms of the numbers that we have presented, how much it will cost to provide the sanitation and the demolition. And we also assume that in 50% of the schools, because we did not do a detailed on-site assessment, 50% of those schools might still need to be provided with water so that the kids can wash their hands. So we have costed for the provision of boreholes as well as providing those consolidated costs. Now, this consolidated cost that we are providing, assume that we will be providing new VIP toilets for demolitions, for provision of boreholes, and all other fees that accompany the building of a structure like that. Gauteng and Western Cape, we did, if you look at the numbers that I've been presenting, they exclude Gauteng and Western Cape. Gauteng and Western Cape, because mostly we are dealing with additional facilities, you are looking at an additional 743 million rand just to provide for additional toilet seats to Gauteng and the Western Cape. However, Chair, the next two slides will show you that we have schools with very low enrollment. In some schools, you have schools that have got 50, 20, 30 learners, but what we did is to look at, in terms of the norms and standards, the threshold is 135. Now, you have 1,300 schools, primary schools, with low enrollment. So these schools have been included in the costs. But we are just showing there that if we remove those schools, because it's possible that some of these schools might be closed or they might be meshed with others, and if you have to deal with those schools, there would be an offset of about 1.2 billion only for your primary schools. And similarly, in case of your secondary schools, you have about 623 secondary schools with very low enrollment. So if some of those schools or all of them are closed, then you would be having an offset of around 783. All in all, if you are looking at both secondary and primary schools, you are looking at 2 billion rand less in terms of our costing, in terms of what would be needed to provide to those schools. Now, in terms of implementation, share this, the last two slides. We are looking at the first set of projects are those that we are currently doing. We have projects, as I indicated in the previous slide, there are schools that are being currently done through the Accelerated School Infrastructure Delivery Initiative, ACDI, and there are schools that have been done through provinces. So we are currently going through provinces to make sure that we confirm the numbers of schools that are currently being done through provinces, because in the numbers that we have presented, you'd find that especially in provinces, you'd find that some of the schools, the project is not about dealing with pit toilets, it's about renovating an existing toilet. So we want to make sure that the numbers that we report on are specifically about only those projects that deal with demolition of pit toilets. Then the second part, we've had a lot of interest from the private sector, where we are looking at engaging the private sector to assist us in dealing with this challenge. And the last one is to look at additional projects through the ACDI program, which has reached quite some momentum in terms of its implementation. But also, Chair, in terms of dealing with demolitions, we are looking at using communities to assist us with demolitions. We've had fruitful discussions with the Department of Public Works in terms of using the EPWP program to address demolitions, specifically in schools where you already have proper sanitation, but the old toilet was not demolished. So we are looking at, we've had already two or three discussions with Public Works in terms of how we can use EPWP. And we also have the NARISEC program in the Department of Rural Development. We've had one engagement with them already in terms of using those youth that has been trained through the NARISEC program into the demolition. So, Chair, this is in short the status with regards to the sanitation program. But, Chair, that concludes our presentation on the EIG ACDI, as well as the additional information on sanitation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for your presentation, Honourable Members. Honourable Members, this document serves as a monitoring tool. This must be with you when you go to your constituency. And visit your schools and see, in terms of what is presented to us, is this happening where you are employed. Honourable Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, can I also draw to the attention that one of our colleagues has joined us, the MEC from Mpumalanga, MEC Malas. No, Chair, I don't have much to add except to emphasize a few points. One, especially on the sanitation program, it was only after Lumka's death in the Eastern Cape that when we were doing an audit, picked up that, because at her school there was proper sanitation. She drowned at a pit latrine which had not been demolished when they were, or she was found in a pit latrine which had not been demolished when they were replacing the toilet system. And we found that it's a very prevalent issue countrywide, because when provinces commission the building of toilets, the cost of those new toilets and the cost of demolitions had not been factored in. As a result, service providers will build what they are paid for, which is a new toilet. So, and they are just all over, and you're told that there are risks in Reading. And as you could have seen in Lumka's case, because she was found in an old toilet, which was not the toilet that was being used by the school. So there's now a new cost that we have to factor in because of the risks that we found there. That's why we're reporting that, because we don't have the resources and provinces have not budgeted for demolitions, working with Public Works to see if they can help us, working with communities, really doing proper demolitions, because it could be also be dangerous just to collapse, because when it dries out, then there's a gaping hole that could be harmful to kids. So there's a new, as I say, we're adding it on the program. But also because of, we only reported that Western Cape and Gauteng have been, have dealt with their own pit latrine problems, but the main challenge is suitable sanitation, like the numbers, and because of overcrowding in those provinces, so they have lots of breakages in their sanitation, which also makes it unsuitable in a way. Northern Cape and Northwest have reprioritized their budgets. They've committed that those four provinces, so which means four provinces will be out of the radar, because those provinces will assist in dealing with their own problems. It's the other five provinces which are not able to do it without any help. And because we don't have an immediate budget, we've been working through the leadership of the president, through the Mandela Foundation, to see if we can crowd in support from the private sector. And there has been lots of appetite from international donors of the Mandela Foundation. So we do hope that we'll be able to start with the most urgent ones as soon as we've finalized the plans and also agreed with the alternative technology through CSIR that can be deployed in those areas. So I just thought we should report that we are running a huge program of trying to raise funds with the president to find money, because there is no immediate money to deal with this problem as we find it. But we're hoping that by the latest in July, we'll be able to start rolling out our plans. Thank you, Chair. I thought I should just add that to the report on sanitation.
The President made a remark, all the members, ladies and gentlemen, send me. Now let's go there and see what's happening in our constituencies, especially in KZN, Honorable Samandi, and welcome, we recognize our colleague from KZN, Honorable Samandi, and also Honorable Monakedi from Limpopo. Yes. What is important here, members, when you look at budgets, is the outcome of the BRRR report process of 2017. What was captured in the recommendations of that department's annual report referring to the budget? Public works, there are challenges. Now I speak for myself, for my province. Yes, there are issues. And what must happen, honourable members, monitoring evaluation is located in the Office of the Premier. But that function must go down to regional level in regions, where there's a regional office of public works in education, for all the departments. That engagement must be, if not on a 14-day basis, then a weekly basis, as HUDs are meeting as HUDs in the province of the different departments. I'm just highlighting a few things. What I didn't see in your pictures is solar energy. When we visited the Free State, especially the Southern Free State, there were issues about electricity. And when we suspended the meeting and said, just going to have a walk outside and come back on what did you see and what did you not see, it was solar panels. There was nothing, but they complained about electricity. And there's lots of sunshine. Yes. look at that, the harvesting of water, the recycling of water at schools. In my constituency, Klipfontein, has got that mechanism. Recycling water. Other members, over to questions. I've just given you some appetite, but to look at. Let's take here from Honorable Motla Shipping, Honorable De Blanche, comes from Mossel Bay, Honorable Shivangu from the Free State. Anyone else on the first row? None? Honorable Monakedi from Limpopo. In that order, thank you.
No, thanks, Chair. Maybe one should start by bridging also the minister and MEC's presence here and the officials of the department, colleagues. I must start by welcoming the presentation. Chairperson, yeah, relatively good. Chairperson, on slide 39, on your rationale for costing, you stating that a desktop study has been done in provinces and it requires verification. And I'm making that point, I know what I'm going into. You further came with a breakdown in terms of the numerical numbers, and deliberately when you came to the implementation plan, you avoided numbers, because to me those are your targets that you would want to meet in your implementation plan. Now you are putting it in a narrative, broadly, ambiguously, that this is what we are trying to implement, but we are not speaking to the figures that you presented in terms of your costing and all that when you come to your implementation plan. What I'm literally saying is that one would have expected to say the department for this financial year is intending to build so many toilets in this province, in that province. That is, to me, an implementation plan, and that, to me, is costing. We may have a different interpretation of costing, but to me, that's costing, at least. I will await your interpretation. The other aspect, Jefferson, I'm looking at the pictures here. Nice pictures. Very nice schools. You would recall that we were in the Eastern Cape lately, taking parliament to the people, and I was in your team. I have forgotten. You will remind me. There's a school that we visited where the principal cried. In the Queen Williamstown area, that one who cried.
Yes.
He was crying because we were asking him questions in terms of what he was doing as a principal. Firstly, if you look at that institution, I'm making this an example, it's so filthy. The institution itself, that's the building, the infrastructure, is inhabitable for learners. To go to sanitation, it's bad. Nobody can accept that condition after 23 years of democracy. That, or 24 years, that our people are exposed to such conditions. What is the name of the school? But it is in the King Williamstown. The other issue which the NCOP raised with the department was that we went there on a first visit. We went there for the second time, and we gave department, we recommended to department certain issues that need to be attended. One of them, key issues that had to be attended to in the King Williamstown area, was the asbestos roofing in schools. We went there for the third time. The asbestos was still there. We went to one school. the school for the deaf. Yes. Teachers who are teaching in that school, they are professionals. But the issue is they are not professionally trained to teach learners who are disabled in that nature. Now, if you teach a child who is deaf and you are not trained, well trained to teach that, the principal, the newly appointed principal, also does not know anything about the methodology that had to be applied in terms of teaching the learner. That is why the pass rate, even at the crying principal, was so low, was below 20%. And this one, Chairperson, maybe I must leave the King Williamstown area and go to the northwest. I am from an area called Swazarene, Mamusa Municipality. That's my home. That's the town where I was born and bred, and the school where I taught. Huh? Yes, I'm serious. There's a primary school that was under construction there. That school is 10 years now, or 5, or 7, or 8, under construction. That primary school in Mamusa. And it's there, it's sitting, vandalized, and it's a problem. I'm sure if we were really dealing with contract management properly, that would not have been the situation. Chairperson, because of time and all that, I think my colleagues will cover the other areas that I had, because the gentleman was galloping over this presentation. And I would not specifically pick up issues that I wanted to, but if a chairperson given the second chance, I will note them properly and come back after my colleagues. Maybe they may cover it, but I know I must provide the Solomonic wisdom for them. Thank you.
Honorable DeBlanche.
Chairperson, thank you. Fortunately, we started with a wise Solomon here, so I have an easy task. Chairperson, we heard about a teacher that was apparently crying. Now, we went to the Eastern Cape minister, and that was during our visit that child drowned in that toilet. So I really came back, and my wife will testify to that, I really cried. Not only about the child, but I did. I haven't seen so much poverty in my life. I'm from the Western Cape. So I haven't seen poverty like that. But we went to schools there, you know, and the schools that we visited, I am very concerned, honestly. No running water. And I'm really, you know, I'm very impressed, to be honest with you, the exercise that you went through to determine the, you know, the problem with the toilets. I think that is really, really good. The one thing that I just want to mention, and I think you are aware of that, the exercise that you have done is obviously only a cost estimate. At best, it's a cost estimate, if not just a guesstimate. Fact of the matter is, but you have done that, and I'm really glad, and I want to commend you for that. Chairperson, I'm going to start with, and I'm coming back to this presentation. The Treasury made a presentation here, you know, and we, it was also covered by the department the backlog. But I would appreciate if one can get a cost estimate on a per child basis, on a learner basis. I mean, you know, the one school will cost 30 million and the other one 15 and the other one maybe even, you know, 50 or even more. So I would, you know, whether that will be possible, that will give us a better sort of, you know, indication what we are looking at in terms of the backlog. Chairperson, then, and that is also covered in their presentation, the whole issue of the implementing agents. Yeah, we are sitting here every day, yesterday again, and, you know, year on year, we are sitting here dealing with the very same issues. And, Chairman, you did touch on that. And I'm just asking, don't you think it's time that we invite Public Works here? Public Works and also the provincial Public Works. Because really, Chairperson, we cannot tolerate this non-performance or obstacle any further. I leave it with you. The whole issue of procurement, supply chain management, this is the one thing that, you know, is haunting us on a daily basis. And I really think it's time that we address that. Somebody needs to do something about it. So, Chairperson, I just want to write that. One thing that was also mentioned is the fact that apparently the provinces, you know, they don't allocate funding anymore or that much anymore, and apparently they are depending now on this grant only. That is maybe something that we also need to pursue. Chairperson, I will try to be chop-chop here. I'm still not happy that I haven't seen the nice other pictures, man. I like pictures. Chairperson, it's a good thing that 20%, and I heard that is a thing that is going to be improved, you know, to higher percentages for maintenance, because really quite often, you know, government buildings are in such a dilapidated state, and that is also what we saw on our visit there. Let me just see. Just about there. You know, it's a lot of figures that we have. It's very difficult, you know, because I went through this presentation like that. Yeah, but I wanted to use my time properly. Chairperson, okay, I did touch on the costing exercise. Now I want to do it because I want to. In the implementation, I think that is my last question, Chairperson. Implementation, it was mentioned that there is a lot of interest or whatever from the private sector. And my question is how? Are they merely, do they like the story? Or what are their plans? Are they just bored? Chairperson, that is my questions for now. Thank you.
We've got a solution in the Northern Cape, but I'll share it with you later.
Thank you, Chairperson. Most unfortunately, today I'm going to speak after...
Speak into your mic. Thank you.
Most unfortunately, I'm going to speak after the departure of the minister. I don't think this is going to fall into FGCA, because really, education is a cause for concern. And we usually take rounds, take in parliament to the people to go and see what is actually happening. And things are not good at all. Especially where I come from Free State. The number of vacant posts in the Free State is worrying. Teachers are overloaded, and speaking from experience, with work, and as a result, they leave for greener pastures. They go to Gauteng, where they get better posts. the underspending in Gauteng and Mpumalanga. What is the actual cause? Because we are talking in terms of running short of schools because of people relocating and so forth and so forth. In the Free State, children are forced to do matric twice. The slow learners, they are not allowed to write the whole examination. That is why Free State is always number one. I'm talking in terms of experience. Don't say I am not talking to you. You'll get your bite. Your department is the first culprit with regard to electricity bills and water. Municipalities can't function, Chairperson, because they owe a chunk of electricity to ESCOM. How are you going to remedy this? Then the pit toilet. The former president, Mbeki, once said he was left with about a certain amount to eradicate the toilets and the people toilets. When you go to Kwakwa, most of the schools, we have got more than 200 and something schools. They are situated at the village, and they are using pit toilets up until today. That system was put in place by Mubedi during those times. I am pleading with you, please, Department of Education, go and check and remedy the situation. Last, the President has made it clear that the service providers should be paid within a short space of time so that they can be able to do their job. Go to where I come from. People are no more even eager to help the department, not the Department of Education alone, because they are not paid. They do work. At the end of the day, they do the shabby work because they are doing, they are using their own money. Allow me to pause, Chairperson. Thank you.
Bugela?
Let me welcome the presentation by Treasury and the Department. Your opening remarks, TG, really touched me because it's so true what you said. And as much Chairperson, I ask myself a question as I'm sitting here. Why do we call only education not public works? Government's mandate is very clear. Infrastructure should be done by public works. And it can all not be right that public works always tell us that they have got no capacity. But by now they should have the capacity. Theirs is education. Theirs is education. Public works is supposed to be doing infrastructure according to the mandate, or else then we should not have public works at all. So I think in future we must call public works. We must call public works because they're doing what they are not supposed to be doing. They should be transferring money to public works. That's the truth of the matter. So really we're overloading them on this one here. On page 19, the Eastern Cape one, a number of projects have been put on hold to avoid overcommitment. Can you clarify us on that one, please? Then on the Free State one, when do you think, when can this problem be resolved, the litigation process? Then on page 27, implementing agencies, the TBS, the IDT, are those the only one? Because yesterday I got a call, Chairperson, from East London, one of the implementing agencies, which is Mvula Trust, who is not paying service providers for the last 3 months. Got a call from East London, and I've checked, I went through, the department has paid Mvula Trust. They are paid by the department. But that implementing agent is not paying service providers. As you know very well, Jefferson, service providers should be paid within 30 days. Now it's 3 months. We talk of the small guys. How do we expect these small guys to grow when these implementing agents are not doing their side, whereby they are paid by the department, not to be blamed? It is the implementing agent. The money is within the implementing agent, but they are not paying the service providers. So I think we need to call them, but I'm worried that they are not here in this page here. Page 39. Page 39. The bullet that's got fees disbursement at 11%, is that for professional fees? And if that is for professional fees, can't you negotiate those fees? Because I think they're too high. Then there's the bullet following that, the cost estimates. Basically, on the cost estimate, you say they're clustering the project so that grade 6 can be accommodated. You have to convince me on this one here. First of all, if you cluster the projects for grade 6, it's the big contractor that will gain on that. The small one's not gaining. We are talking here of building the small business people. Now, once you cluster that, it means that grade 5 downwards, those guys will remain in that, in the bottom. They won't be able to grow. So convince me on this one. It will also not be cheaper to cluster them, because your great ones, you get them in every village. So you are then able to get your great ones. So then your PNGs are lower. So you are not going to save on that. You'll have to convince me if you can save on that. You are not going to save on that. You'll never save on that. You'll have to convince me otherwise. Why not give the great ones to do the smaller work so that tomorrow they can be great twos? Tomorrow they can be great sixes. So you can look at that one there, please. Then the state of the schools, as my colleagues have said, in the Eastern Cape, they are horrible. I'm from the Eastern Cape. They are worse that you can ever find. They are horrible. And some of you are from my colleague. We used to work together with this gentleman here. We're from the construction industry, Jefferson. He's a consultant. We know each other very well. They're the worst that you can ever have in your lifetime. Yeah, it's working for Kabambu. I'm here now. They are horrible. The ordinary furniture, where this kid sits on block bricks, the ordinary furniture. So you can just talk and talk about it. You've seen it yourself as well when we went to the Eastern Cape.
Other members, I want you, if you mention like on Bugalini, I'll come to the specifics. If you can forward information to the DG, be more precise, contact numbers, what is the issue, and a follow-up time period, that we get the feedback also for yourself, representing the Eastern Cape. The same with what Honorable Terbans mentioned and Honorable Shimangu from the Free State. That we come up with a specific, where's the school, where's the service provider, implementation agent, who didn't get money, etc. Forward it to the GG, and there must be a report back. Okay?
No, no, what I'll do, I'll get the DG's contacts, I'll give him the details. As far as the Mvula Trust, I think we valued it with my former colleague in the contractor in that is trying to phone them, so he's busy solving that one, the non-payment of contractors. That's why we're sending that message. We're talking about that. But I'll forward you all the complaints, DG, but there's too many of them. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just some few points that have not been covered. And I also just want to start by indicating that this department obviously is very critical. It is the foundation, the basis for the success or otherwise of the country. And therefore it needs to be exemplary in terms of its performance, in terms of ensuring that they really do everything within their power to achieve all their plans. But listening to the presentation and going through what we have been given since a few days ago, it's clear that there are some serious challenges, some of which already have been alluded to by my colleagues. For instance, the issue of the non-payment of contractors, which Honorable Gila has just alluded to. Some few months ago, I think it was the Minister of Finance who indicated that the department, that is National Treasury, was going to be issuing a directive to all the departments provincially and locally on this particular aspect to make sure that unnecessary delays are actually dealt with so that our emerging contractors can be paid and can be in a position to deliver. I just want to check as to whether is there any improvement in the last few months, with regard to making sure that this particular challenge is actually addressed. I think the same with issues around supply chain management. It's unacceptable that wrong contractors with wrong grading and what have you get appointed, because that ultimately then impacts on the quality of the work that has to be done out there on the ground. I think it's high time that the DG takes responsibility of ensuring that issues like this one, when we next meet, are no longer arising as a challenge. But at least we should be able to get a report to say, yes, we had this challenge, but now things are very smooth, it's smooth sailing. There are these other new challenges. I'm saying it's wrong to come to these meetings day in, day out, and be told about the same challenge around supply chain management issues. I am also not very sure as to whether the department is taking the issue of foundation phase of education serious. In terms of these reports, there are about 231 classrooms which were supposed to be built and were not built to cater for, foundation phase, especially the grade R. So I just want to check as to whether they take this serious, because that is where everything has to start, in terms of ICT expenditure, it has been fluctuating. In 2011-2012, it was at 11%. In 2014-2015, it was at 100%. 16-17, it was at 60%. And this previous year, it was at 17-18, it was at 102. It's fluctuating. There's no consistency, which means it's some sort of miss and hit. I just want to understand, does it mean there is no clear plan as to how to address whatever challenges are there in terms of ICT expenditure? I think the other issues that I wanted to raise have been raised already, as I said, by my colleagues. But the most important thing that I really wanted to emphasize is this, that the department is very, very critical. If we are to succeed in the implementation of the NDP, these departments should be able to lead us in that direction. Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable members. 5 members asked 20 questions. So, and you want a reply on each one. I'm just sensitizing you, because we must listen to our 3 provincial departments and the MECs as well. The Triple P, that's the way to go. Northern Cape, Namakwa region, Monaco Bay Primary School, Subaksfontein Primary School is being assisted by a small mine house. Transet. Yes, West Coast Resources. I'm just mentioning it, because that's the route to go. Government can't do everything with the limited financial resources available. The other point is mobile toilets. I've got a very, very rural constituency, 16 towns, and Spoegrivier, Klipfontein, Olzhoek, it's got mobile toilets, but it must be connected. It looks like a mobile classroom, it's just very small, but it's not connected. Again, the issue of public works coming up, that engagement. The role of circuit managers, the circuit manager, the kringbestuurder, circuit manager, is the link between the school and the department, provincial department, the national department. Go and review the role of a circuit manager. Because that was the question we asked when we visited Eastern Cape schools. Sir, did you know about these issues? Did you report it? Did you follow up? It's not just writing a report, giving it in, I complied. What is happening after that? What is the action plan? We want action plans. If there's a challenge, fine. What is the action plan to address the challenge? Also the role of SGBs and then us. I point a finger to myself. Go and visit your schools at least 3 times a year and follow up on the issues. Phone your MEC, HUD, phone the minister. There's a DG, you can give his number. As Honorable Mona Kelly said, this is a crucial department because we're working with the future of South Africa. Yes. Is your ECD functioning 100%? If not, why not? Address the issue. Yes. Over to you, DG, and your team. Please be precise and to the point. If you can't, if there's matters you can't answer now, you can reply in written format to our secretary. Over to you. Thank you.
Honorable Chair and honorable members, thank you very much. Chair, I'll really try to summarize. The first summary is that there is a comprehensive report on all the schools that we visited. We made the report available to even the chair of the NCOP. We can make it available to you. It's here for all the schools. But for us, it's not enough because it's about the schools that you visited. The logical question would be about what about the schools that were not visited? We've also requested the province to develop a plan in dealing with all the issues in all the schools that were identified. The province was also invited to the select committee on education, sports and recreation. The MEC was there, made a presentation. The MEC was also invited to the NCOP. So that's how we are addressing issues that emerged from taking parliament to the people. And we've been monitoring, making sure that the province is really responding to those issues. Honorable Chair, you raised the issue of the solar energy. The officials have made me aware of the fact that we are using solar energy, but there's a risk because the solar panels get stolen. In South Africa, schools get terribly vandalized. And let me also respond to the issue of the bills. The bills that we have, first, are either of services that are shared with communities, as all of us will know, because I am aware that some of you are teachers by profession, although you are politicians now. You know that schools that are located in communities end up being used by those communities for water, in some cases for even electricity. And then the the bills becomes extremely exorbitant and not manageable by schools in terms of, you know, paying them. And sometimes we have running battles with municipalities because they are also taking schools for a ride. You get huge bills which are actually not properly calculated and so on. But I do accept, we do talk to schools, I do meet with school principals, my colleagues are here can confirm that. We do address these issues to make sure that we don't contribute to, you know, running municipalities down, but we contribute in enhancing their capacity so that they serve us as well as schools. Chair, let me also, you've offered the issue of triple P, which I fully appreciate. But what is happening in terms of the sanitation project, which is led by the president? The minister is planning to invite Business South Africa to a round table where they are going to pledge. In the Northwest, the mines have already pledged to assist with sanitation, build and help us to demolish some of the pit latrines that are just standing there and becoming a hazard for these children. But let me also say that what puzzles us, and I hope I won't come across as being insensitive, losing one child in education is one too many. We've already lost two. For any reasonable citizen of this country, it's something that is abhorrent, something that must be avoided. But what really puzzles us, Chair, is that we all know, and honorable members can concur with me, these big toilets are still the features of this country in the rural areas. When I visit my next of kin in the rural areas, the only means for sanitation is pit latrines. But what puzzles us is that these tragedies that happen in our schools do not happen in communities. I am looking forward for social scientists to help us understand this phenomenon. It could be maybe because supervision is not up to scratch in our schools, but children are hardly supervised at home. We all know that. They even go to these facilities alone. But why does it happen in our schools and not happen in communities? It's something that puzzles us. I thought that I must just raise that. To Honorable Mutlashupin, we'll follow up this thing, but I've already said the report is available. I even have a copy here responding to all the issues that were identified during taking Parliament to the people. And about the slide 39, I think it was slide 39, and then you said you referred to desktop and you said you didn't speak to the figures. We're not specific on how many are we going to address the announce. You're absolutely right. This is preliminary exercise. The next step is for the professional team. The PSU is helping us to do that. They will go to each and every school and come up with exact costs for what needs to be done. This is preliminary work. Now, you can't plan for preliminary work. You have to wait for the final figures and then break them down per year and say over the MTF, over 5 years, 10 years, this is the work that will be able to come. So it is, that is the reason why. Coincidentally, I also come from the Northwest. I was there yesterday because of Section 101B. We've received a memorandum from MAMUSA. The school that you have mentioned is in the memorandum. So we are addressing that matter. I'm going there tomorrow again to follow up on some of the issues that we have committed to address. Honorable Terre Blanche, I've spoken to schools that you visited, so there's a report, and we're even following up on others. I'm so humbled by your observation. That applies to Honorable Kayla as well. To think of it, we meet with implementing agents every month. Every month, we have a meeting with implementing agents. Honorable Chair, if I meet with implementing agents every month, I don't even want to imagine how many times my colleagues are meeting with implementing agents. When are we going to get time to get learners to be able to read properly and write and count? The next thing, honorable members will say to me, the education system is not performing well. But I am now caught up in infrastructure. I have to focus on infrastructure. On the one hand, the core business is going to suffer. And I'm not speaking for myself. I'm talking about even HODs in provinces. They spend their time on infrastructure. Because if we don't do that, it affects our core business. But at the same time, that valuable time could be used to improve the quality of education. And I'm really humbled by your observations. I'm looking forward where we will be called under one roof with public works, national and provincial. I would really appreciate that if it happens one day before some of us come to the end of our tenure or our contract. I fully agree, the Honorable Monakedi, all of these issues, they might sound like excuses. But I also, it's a reflection on how the system performs. I've said that to even officials. How I wish that next time we don't come and tell you again about implementing agents, but unfortunately, until they improve, we will have to give that reason to you. But let me also assure you that from our side as a department, 30 days we meet, and in these monthly meetings we even confirm whether the 30 days is met. But maybe the problem, as it has been confirmed by honorable members, it's not necessarily about paying implementing agents. It's about implementing agents paying contractors. So we'll follow that up and say, it can't be that we ensure that you are paid within 30 days and you don't do the same. Because you also have to pay contractors within 30 days. And Honorable Shabangu, the HOD from Free State is here, Honorable Malakwani. I'm sure he'll be more than willing to respond to the issues that you have raised. So I'll request him to please do that. But it's, you know, provinces are really trying under very difficult circumstances. I wouldn't be surprised if he says that there is no money to fill the vacant post. Now, let me say, there's budget cuts. There's been budget cuts for the past few years. 5% in education is a lot. It can actually ground the department to a halt. Mpumalanga is battling to run the department because of budget cuts, which have been happening for years. And I had hoped, and I said to Honorable Mutashuping, I know that these are public hearings, I had hoped that when we leave, we'd leave with some glimpse of hope, Honorable Chair, where you'd also be saying that you'll help us to survive going forward, because we are really battling to survive as basic education. And Honorable Kayla, projects on hold, and one in the Free State because of litigation. I'm sure the HOD will be able to help us to respond to that. He will definitely respond. Mvula Trust, we've not included them under the implementing agents that are in the presentation, because they focus only on sanitation. And it's one of those implementing agents that have started to perform. And because I'm signing documents that are paying them, we've really been paying them on time. And the problem, it might be that they don't pay the contractors on time. And I've committed that we are going to follow that up in our monthly meetings, and we'll take it up with them. For professional fees, I'm sure Mr. Mafuku can just explain. Well, clustering projects, maybe it will require a dedicated discussion. Sometimes you benefit on what is called economies of scale when you cluster. But I take your point. But I'm sure you are also not saying empower the small person, not at the expense of the state, but bring the small person to the level of being able to compete with the big guys. And we take your observation for that. I've spoken to the others, Great R and so on. We do take Great R quite serious. And I think the delays are owing to the explanation that we have raised, Honorable Munakedi, but I'm sure that in future we'll be talking about the fluctuation in ACID as the last response. I'm sure you'll appreciate that when ACID started, we had numerous problems, like any other project that takes off the ground. We improved. We had some delays because midstream were also told, you are galloping, but you are neglecting the PFMA. Then we had to make sure that we put mechanisms in place that we ensure that the PFMA is also observed every step of the way. And now you've seen that in the last financial year we are overheating. It's because of the spillover of projects that were delayed because we said you are not going through unless you meet the requirements of the PFMA. Honorable Chair, just a few minutes for Mr. Mafuku, please.
Just thank you, Chair. Just want also to add on the last statement by DG. DG also did remember the issue of rationalization of schools had an impact on the RCD program. At a certain point when we are galloping, the issue of rationalizing the 1,900 schools in the Eastern Cape put a halt on the program. We had to delay until that process has been addressed. And the 61 projects that DG mentioned that we are implementing were as a result of this. And now those projects have kicked in, and that is why we started to overspend even in the last financial year. The issue around professional fees, and I'm giving you the permission, I'm also going to give Mr. Matunda maybe to add on that. The 11%, in actual fact, the industry norm is 18%. We actually went down to 11%, but we are also looking at even getting even lower down in terms of this professional fees. It is possible. It can be done. But you know that the industry will not take kindly to that, but it's something that we will look at. The last one, DG, is around the projects on hold in the Eastern Cape. This links directly to the issue that Honorable Member mentioned around the lack of sufficient equitable share contribution on the budget. That happened also in the Eastern Cape because they ended up being overcommitted because they were promised a certain amount of money from the equitable share which did not come. So at the end they were overcommitted by an amount of 300 million. Which they couldn't pay, and it had to become an accrual, and that work was only paid into the following financial year. So there was a delay in terms of those payments. Matuk.
Thanks, Oli. Mr. Gela, I think what we did when we did prepare the plan for allowing the professional fees, I think Soli has given this a national standard. But the plan is also to consolidate documentation at the center, because you can only achieve the economies of scale at documentation stage. And that really has reduced those fees drastically. That's one area. But the issue that mitigates
against reduction of these budgets is the issue, is the fact that these schools are generally rural. And generally the supervision of these schools would come from your urban centers. If you look in Eastern Cape, you probably would have them in Umtata, Kokstad, East London, and Queenstown, the major centers. But most of these schools would lie in the middle of Rusikisiki, somewhere in the Gqeleni, where you actually, people have to drive to those schools. Typical architect would have to visit those schools at least twice a month to run meetings, look after the quality. So what really becomes very difficult to manage is the issue of traveling up and down. If you combine that problem with a possibility of choosing a bad contractor, you really have a big problem in your hands. And hence the issue of looking at, and I mean, can I just add sort of the issue of clustering DG? You will recall that in the first phase of ACIDI, there was a major clustering of projects which looked at grade 9 contractors, which attracted specifically contractors that were not familiar with the terrain, which led to major terminations of contracts, and that work was repackaged for contractors of the grade 6 and 7, those ranges. And that lesson was that we needed to make sure that the contractors that are going to be given the opportunity to work on these things, on this program, because it's time-bound, are contractors that are familiar with the terrain, and are also able to give you the most cost-benefit for the program. So we then looked at the sanitation, first lot of sanitation, starting from grade 3, 4, and 5. And the lesson in that thing, delays, leading to the other problem. And where we've had the major successes has been in the grades 6 and 7. Now, we looking at those two grades also to introduce the issue of subcontracting for your grade 3s and 4s, so that you are able to get the economies of scale, but also give opportunities to smaller contractors. Because clearly the problem is that balance, Mr. Gale. Where is the sweet spot to make sure that you get the best for your money? And I can assure you, if we were to look at a grade lower than these grades, we're probably looking at anything minimum, a kick up of the cost of about 15%, going up to 30. So you've got to find a sweet spot where you think the program would give you a better result.
Last point is that appreciating and acknowledging the observations and comments made by honorable members, especially in the Eastern Cape, I'm humbly requesting honorable members to remember that we've built more schools in the Eastern Cape through ACIDI than in any other province. Out of 204 schools that have been built through ACIDI, even in this presentation where he talks about 202, 98 of those schools are only in the Eastern Cape. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DJ, and your team. Coming to contractors, and we're talking about this for many years. Look at the performance record of a contractor before you. Take him in. What is his record in performance? Yes. It's now 10 years that we battled to complete in the Northern Cape the mental health facility, hospital. Why? Because of contractors. And the basic hasn't been done to look at the performance record of that person. While a hospital was built in Upington, state of the art, from day one, with lesser egos. So just do the basics and do the basics right. Budget. DG, we must grow the economy. You will listen to the former Minister of Finance, Rusikikaba, what he said. Quote, yes, of course, referring to the division of revenue, we want to allocate more money, but because of our debt, we have to have a expenditure ceiling. The amount is 85 billion rand over the MTF. That's one must. The president came up with the initiative with envoys to engage with investors, the CEO initiative, and so I can go on, to grow the economy, to get bigger allocations to provinces. But by the way, we're dealing with provincial treasuries. 6.2 billion rand is returned by 9 provinces to the national treasury. And Mrs. Gerekwa can forward you that presentation. Every Tuesday, we're meeting 2 provinces on their fiscal framework. Then we see how many money is being spent and what is returned, including the provincial department of basic education. Yes, we will engage with public works. No, we've got to have a time problem. And we must listen to 3 provinces. You made the proposal. I'm answering you, Honorable Gayla. National Treasury, Department of Basic Education National, as well as Public Works Secretary, the end of the 3rd term, beginning of the 4th term, we will have a joint meeting, including those select committees that deals with these departments. Yes, answer is yes. Thank you for your proposal. What do you want to add?
No, I was going to add and say, when public works comes, education must be there, and also the entities of public works, because CBA will deal with professionals, CIDP will deal with contractors, because you'll find that the problem is much larger than what we think. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your inputs, members. Let's proceed. Kumalanga, are you ready? Let me see. You can come here to the front. We call it business class. You can come here to the front. And then after that, Free State, all the members with your cooperation, can we also take Western Cape then after Free State? Thank you. Thank you very much. All of them wanted to be first. It's impossible. We can't do that. Kumalanga, I'm going to give you your 25 minutes.
No, thank you very much, Madam Chair and fellow members. We're not going to waste your time. Quickly zoom in and I request the Honourable HOD to make the presentation.
And what's your action plan?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members.
Yes.
Honourable MECs, DG and my colleagues, good morning. I'm going to make a short presentation, Honourable Members. As indicated by both the National Treasury and the Department of Basic Education, we did not spend our budget for 2017-18 financial year, and that's why we find ourselves here today. We're going to present to the committee our performances at the end of 2017-18 financial year. When we started the financial year 17-18, our budget as a province on infrastructure delivery was 1.1 billion, 10%, but it was adjusted downwards to 995 million due to the challenges of us not spending as expected during the financial year. And in the main, we lost 243 million of the 413 million that was made available as part of the equitable share portion that the province was funding us for infrastructure. The 750 million, which was the budget for 2017-18 in terms of the EIG, was spread as follows in 2017-18 in the province. We had allocated 193 million for new and replacement, 379 million for upgrades and additions, 114 million for maintenance, refurbishment for 30 million, and on goods and services, we had allocated 33 million. At the high level, at the end of the 2017-18 financial year, we had spent 668 million of the EIG, as per the classification that I've spoken to in the previous slide. During that financial year, Chairperson, we had around 606 projects running, from planning, design, up to final account. So those are were the number of projects that were running in 2017-18 financial year. But those that we were able to actually complete for that financial year were 240, Chairperson, and on this slide we are indicating the categories of those projects that we're able to complete and the budget spent on those projects. On this particular slide, Chairperson, what we wanted to illustrate to the committee is that our spending in 2015-16 financial year on the grant was at 99.5%. And in 2016-17, we had a number of challenges, and our spending dropped to 86.2%. And in 2017-18, on the grant, at least we see some improvement that we moved to 93.4%. With the kinds of backlogs that we have as a province on infrastructure, we really cannot afford not to even spend a cent of the budget that we get allocated by government. And at the end of 2017-18, on the grant, we're at 93.4%. The challenge that we have been experiencing over the past two, three financial years, Chairperson, on is around accruals. At the end of 2016-17 financial year, we had accruals to the value of 109 million. We made our applications to the provincial treasurer and DBE for the rollovers to be granted. They were granted, but however, the money was not appropriated during the adjustment of 2017-18 financial year, because of the severe underspending that we had experienced as a province. So the money was not, the rollover was not reallocated to us during 2017-18 adjustment. Now, at the end of the 2017-18 financial year, we had underspent, and again we have accruals to the value of 49 million. Chair, these are some of the challenges that we are experiencing for us to be in a position to really deal with the challenges in the implementation on infrastructure. We're indicating on the following few slides the challenges and what and how we're proposing to resolve those challenges, Chair. As Team Mpumalanga, honorable members and honorable chairperson, we came as a team led by the honorable MEC. We're officials from both the Department of Education as well as the Department of Public Works, Roads and Transport, as they are our implementing agents, so that they can the team can really appreciate the challenges and say how best are we going to deal with these issues going forward so that we improve on our spending and delivery on education infrastructure. The issue around late appointment of service providers by the implementing agent, we have one implementing agent in the province, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, which is Public Works. Now, if there are delays in the appointment of service providers, indeed it's going to affect everything else, the spending and the delivery of the infrastructure. There's also a challenge of poor projects and construction management practices, and this results in late or non-submission of invoices on a monthly basis by these service providers on the work that they've done. And this will then further result in the department experiencing high influx of invoices during March, which is the last month of the financial year, and then we're unable to internalize education to then process all those payments before the 31st of March of each year, resulting in the accruals. There are delays in the submission of the final accounts due to delays and non-attendance of the snack list to ensure project closures by our service providers. We can be in 18-19 as we are now, but you'll only receive your final account from a project that was completed or supposed to have been implemented and completed in 2013-14 financial year. So that says there's just no compliance to the conditions of contracts that we sign with our service providers. So it's one of those challenges that we're experiencing. There's also poor monitoring of service providers' performance. Here we are referring to our principal agents that are being appointed. They are not making sure that there is compliance and adherence to the general conditions of contracts by the contractors that are appointed by government. There's also non-implementation of consequence management on poorly performing service providers. You'll find that a service provider gets terminated on building a school in one part of the province, but then they get appointed to go and implement another project somewhere else. So we're saying we need to improve on that, Chairperson. The general deficiencies on program management that we've referred to above 2.1 to 2.4 points to the implementing agent's capacity in implementing the department's large infrastructure portfolio, because they are not only implementing education projects, but they are also responsible for health, for social development, as well as community safety, security, and liaison. So we believe that the capacity that our implementing agent has is not at the right level for them to assist in making sure that our projects are implemented on time. There is a new phenomenon, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, around challenges when the implementing agents want to implement projects in communities, where community members demand the subcontracting work, and that can really put projects on hold up until these issues are then negotiated and amicable solutions are reached. The project cost allocations, such as contingency and retention, also affect expenditure, because currently we are allocating 5% of the contract amount for contingency, and we are paying this as and when it is required. And we're also budgeting for the retention fees of 5%, but when the contractors are not dealing with the snag list, we're unable to then release the 5% on the retention. As part of the education infrastructure grant, we have a portion of compensation of employees, where as client departments, we are expected to appoint professionals. We have been challenged in attracting and retaining these professionals to assist us in implementing this project. Of course, I indicated that we have challenges in the implementing agent, but as the client department as well, we also have some deficiencies, especially on us complying with our own business processes in as far as planning is concerned. And we're indicating that that challenge leads to us prioritizing projects that are not supposed to be prioritized at the expense of those that needed to be prioritized. So it's an issue that we also need to deal with and correct going forward. These are the proposed solutions that we have come up as a team. We're saying that through the DORA funding, the Mpumalanga Department of Education has been able to increase its in-house technical capacity through the appointment of a professionally registered personnel. We only have 5 vacancies that we are struggling to fill as of now, but we are working with the relevant professional bodies to assist us in recruiting these professionals. We have a service level agreement between ourselves and the implementing agent. We have reviewed this service level agreement so that the challenges that we have been experiencing over the last 2-3 financial years can be resolved. But the service level agreement is as good as us from the 2 departments implementing it. If we don't implement it, then the challenges will persist. We are saying that the implementing agent should finalize the community facilitation strategy to guide project facilitation and engagement so that we really avoid the challenges that we are currently experiencing where communities stop the construction of the education facilities that we want to put in those various communities. We are saying that the committees that are currently in place to monitor implementation of the project in the province, that is the POM meetings, the joint operations committee meetings, as well as the Premier's Provincial Infrastructure Coordinating Committee, will have to be enhanced so that indeed we improve as a province on delivering education infrastructure holistically. We also, as a department chairperson, want to approach our executive council, because they took a decision to have Public Works as our only implementing agent, to say they allow us to also look at other implementing agents that we can use, because about 4 years ago, when we had other implementing agents, our expenditure and delivery on education infrastructure was really better than the current situation. So we're hoping that when we go back to the Executive Council, we will be granted that approval so that we can have some of these projects implemented by ourselves in-house and others by our entity, which is Mpumalanga Regional Trust, MRTT, as well as other agencies that we have identified. So we're hoping that we'll get a positive response from our Executive Council. We're recommending to the committee that it notes the performance of the province and the interventions that we are proposing to improve on our education infrastructure delivery. Nyabo.
Honorable MEC, want to add something?
Thank you very much. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, I think there are three things that we want to put an emphasis on. Just there are three things that we want to put emphasis on. The first issue will be to confirm that we are aware of the challenges. We are working together with my colleagues in public works just to resolve some of this. And we are certain that in the next 2 or 3 weeks we're going to have a session. That is why today, even public works is represented here in the delegation. But the second issue, Honourable Chair, is that the issue of budget cuts is a reality. It affects our day-to-day running in the department. And the last one that confronts us almost every day are the problem of infrastructure. And that is it makes us being unable to focus on the core business of the sector. So we're certain that these are the things that when we're able to resolve them properly, we'll be able to focus on the core mandate of the department. We want to thank you, Chair.
I take you back to February 2017, when the Minister of Finance made the remark that provinces will have to budget for lesser money. Go and read his speech. It comes back here in Mpumalanga to planning. We had it yesterday in the presentations from those provinces, the provincial treasuries as well. Goes back to planning. You have to employ experts. Success is a continuous investment in excellence. Yes. You know where you're going to read it when you enter the arrivals hall in Dubai. We employ the best. It's written there. That's the thinking. That's the route we must take. Thank you, Mpumalanga. Free State?
Yeah.
Yes.
Just before you pass, I just want to check as to whether the representative of the Department of Public Works from Mpumalanga, who is here, would want to say a word or two. Especially on the... Yeah, I think they indicated that there's someone from Public Works.
Public Works here?
Mpumalanga. I just want to check if he doesn't want to have a word or two.
Well, he shouldn't be so far away. Come closer.
Regarding this challenge here,
yes.
Intervention. Just a word or two.
You should have indicated from the start. I didn't know you were here. You're welcome to make your input.
Thanks, Honourable Chair.
You're speaking to the mic. Take the next one.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, and Honourable MCs. Thanks for the opportunity. Chair, I think you were spot on when you spoke of planning. In the infrastructure sector, we have a framework called IPMS, conceived in the East Province of the Western Cape, and as it has few gateways that are prescribed. An emphasis is put on planning, design, the procurement strategy up to the level of where you transfer the immovable asset into your asset register. So those are the things that I think when we ensure full compliance on the framework will assist us, not only as a province, but also as a sector, to make sure that we achieve the objectives of our client departments.
You are here, you will get questions from the members of the committee. Don't go away, so yeah, sit closer. Free State. The introduce yourself and then you can proceed. You've got 25 minutes to do your presentation. Please be to the point.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me take this opportunity to acknowledge the presence of honorable members, honorable MECs present, and the DG and colleagues in general, also my colleagues from other provinces. Honorable Chairperson, I would go straight to slide 2. Here, Chairperson, we're actually trying to show you the expenditure trends of the province. We must mention that for the 3 years preceding 17-18, we have had challenges in expenditure. Chairperson, in particular, 16-17, when we came in, we realized that the province had a bigger challenge of expenditure, where we basically found out that in 16-17, the province lost 86 million due to non-expenditure, mainly put paid to the challenges that we encountered, particularly with our sector implementing agent, which is Public Works, for provinces that were never implemented. So we immediately put austerity measures in place, Chairperson, and as it can be now depicted for the current quarter under review, our expenditure is 99.7% from 65.7% of the previous year. That accounted for the loss of funding. When you look at the slide, which is slide number 3, it is clearly depicted there, Chairperson, in real numbers. You can see that in terms of expenditure per source of grant, the main case that was made by Treasury is that you will see that this province is mainly dependent on conditional grant from national. We don't match, our only contribution is 16.2 million, which is highly incongruent with what is being invested by other grants. We are also making that point that the cumulative spend was 99.68%. And Chairperson, the next slide is actually now our performance per grant per economic classification. When you look at the first slide, especially the last column, you will see that we seem to have underspent at the education infrastructure grant by 99.9%, but we actually had commitments. It means that money would have been fully spent. And then you also see that on EPWP integrated grant for provinces, we had 86.91%, but we had commitments of 8.87%, which means that it was fully spent. And also in infrastructure enhancement allocation is the same. So as I said, when you look at the specific slide, that's what depicts clearly between at our appetite for spend increased in 17-18. In terms of spending growth, as opposed to 16-17, and that's when I said in 16-17 we lost 86 million, which was actually given to KZN because of the challenges that we had with Public Works, and also there was suspensions of officials in the infrastructure grant for about 5 months. There was relative lull, and we only came at the later end of the financial year. And when we got in, we made sure that we capacitated the unit. We appointed chief directors, we appointed directors, and that's why you see this movement, that we are at almost 100% spent. And for the first year, for the first time since 2014, we qualified for infrastructure enhancement, and the province has been given extra 133 million because of our spending pattern. And when you look at this next slide, it's just our performance per grant. That shows the nature of investment still extended, Chairperson. And then because, Chairperson, my experience coming to portfolio committees, we talk about projects, but we don't show projects. So I make sure that the next slides until slide 17, they depict all our projects that we are funding. Then I will then jump to the slide, and I've just realized, Chairperson, that in your pack, unfortunately, per error, the team omitted this slide, which are very key for my presentation to show the turnaround that we have made in the department. I would, with your humble indulgence, Chairperson, therefore request that the committee members can actually, for this purpose, look at the screen.
Now, why did they leave it up?
We realized when we arrived here this morning that in the printed pack,
that the infrastructure chief directorate made, these slides were actually missed. We'll make sure that when we leave, we leave the slides.
It's again the basics, honourable members. Before you come to Parliament, check that your documentation are correct. Then you put it in your bag, and then you depart, coming to Cape Town. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wouldn't make excuses for the infrastructure model. He's new. I've just been telling him the same thing this morning. I was actually saying he's on probation. And I take adverse inference to what he's done. Our humble apologies, Chairperson. No. I'm taking the responsibility. That's why I'm saying my humble apologies. Chairperson, you've got four areas that I wanted to emphasize. It is mainly completed projects, ACV claims, spending for 17-18 and compliance. Chairperson, for the first time, we tried in terms of Section 42 transfers. We found that there was a lot of projects that were completed in the department, but they were never transferred, which was one of the audit outcomes when we arrived. We made sure that now we have transferred four batches of over half a billion to public works. And we made sure that we also improved compliance. We are now flush in terms of compliance and on submission of our IRMs, KCMs, quarterly reports, and compliance certificates. And our budget spending, as I've said, currently as we speak, we're at 99.9%. And then we've got ACV claims that we actually work with the department. We are paying on costs based on our agreement with them, and the department has met their obligations. We do have challenges, Chairperson, as depicted earlier, and I think we can cross-read that in line with the presentation made by Treasury. We are currently running more projects than allocated budget, and this is a result of the fifth tranche of that was withheld in 16-17 due to slow spending when we lost that money. And in 18-19 financial year budget cuts due to funding of free education and national priorities, Chairperson, when I was asked about us not filling vacancies and the DG said I should answer certain questions. I think our biggest challenge in education, particularly in the Free State, if I have to answer the Honourable Member directly, has been that our overheated budget of COE, mainly because of three variables. It's only the equitable share cuts. It's also the improvement of conditions of service. When the conditions of service at bargaining level are probably concluded at a higher percentage than what the province budgets for. That difference in any other department may be a slap on the wrist, but for education is huge. That has been happening for 13-14. I can give you the numbers, they are shocking. And also the payments that were done on OSD for teachers. Because that money went out of the system and it never came out, and the challenges of the Free State are quite different. Though the equitable share formula will look at the current warm bodies of inhabitants at 2.8 million, but ironically the learner numbers have been increasing. Even though people migrate, clearly they leave the children in the front. And then we find that from now it's 89 warm bodies that we had in terms of learner population, and now the 710,000. We also particularly have challenges along the border belt. I think Mpumalanga has got the same challenges as we do. We've got porous borders where people from Lesotho literally walk through the borders, they come into our schools, and then they also even take our LTSF. So we've got that challenge that is causing a lot of overheated COE. And then we are actually presenting with our sector partners. Just yesterday we had a workshop with all chamber partners. We are going to present these issues for our executive council. And then we are also making our own austerity measures to make sure that we eradicate pig toilets, to make sure that we don't have the same challenges that have befallen our sector partners as well. Chairperson, I must admit we've got a problem with public works. And I think it's a proper situation where public works can be called in. Currently, where we are, we find that they implement all our projects. Our projects take long to be completed, and immediately a project takes long to be completed, it has got concomitant cost implications.
And now the Auditor General is trying to say, because the project has taken long, there's been a lot of, sometimes contractors leave site, they come back, that money, they wanted to know that money as fruitless and wasteful. And that becomes a non-compliance matter. And then also, Chairperson, we are working more on bilateral. So I spend more time, like the DG saying, trying to make sure that we spend according to the norm, and it's creating a bigger problem for us. And also we found out there's lack of consequence management, where you find that contractors are immoral, they are not being terminated on timely, and the projects overrun into the new financial year. And then we also have made a proposal and a prayer to HEDCOM ourselves to say we should be given an opportunity to have an opportunity to choose more implementing partners so that we don't just rely to them. I don't know what we want to see, because clearly over time they've been failing us. And then the last slide, Chairperson, is just what I wanted to say about our accrual situation. Immediately we have accruals in the preceding year, they already have got an effect on your current budget. For us as the Free State, that was our presentation. Thank you, Chairperson. And that is all that I wanted to say.
Yeah, we don't have those pages.
Yes, I will definitely make sure that we leave them here, Chairperson.
Please take Parliament serious, because this is a presentation to Parliament. It becomes part of the records of this committee, and is a legacy we're going to leave for those coming after us in 2019 after the election. So presentations are very serious documents. Thank you. Western Cape, MEC, thank you for staying. We appreciate that. Yes, you can come to the front, please, with your team. All the members and provinces, we must all also learn from each other. Best practices, yes, to improve. Let me see if you're ready. You can make your input, and then you can get into the presentation. Thank you. 25 minutes to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm going to take the liberty and respond to a number of the issues, if that's okay, that have been raised in the... first of all, I think it's all very well to say that we have to plan for a lower budget, but then the implication is that there are going to be fewer resources that we need. So we can't plan when we have, say, 100,000 extra children in the system, which we have in the last 5 years, where we don't get the money for it. So we do plan extremely well. We just simply haven't got enough space, we haven't got enough money, we haven't got enough schools, and we certainly haven't got enough teachers. So it's actually very, very frustrating for us. And as you probably know now, this year the EIG has also been cut. So but that, I think, is also one of the reasons why provincial education departments are not supplementing the infrastructure budget as well as they were before. Because my colleagues have also referred to the COE and so on, and now with the pending wage negotiations that are currently underway, we're sitting with a very real risk that we're going to have another situation where we're going to have to pay out money that we don't have for cost of employment of our staff. And the numbers in education are huge. So that has really crippled us over the last 3 years since the last negotiations happened. The other thing about the provincial equitable share formula is that it is not responsive, and I don't know if Treasury is still here or not, but I really hope they are. It is not responsive, and we've been saying so for years now. The formula for education, obviously there's no guarantee that the province will allocate that specific amount to the provincial education department, but the formula that Treasury uses, 50% of that formula is based on 2011 census figures. Now, we all know that that's way out of date. And I've certainly been driving at the DBE at our chem meetings that we need more reliable data, and there is work being done on that now. But until we know for sure how many people we have in each province and that they're real people, that is also a risk. But the other risk as well is that there has been a population increase between 2003 and 2005. DBE has done some very good work on that, also on the funding. It shows that there has actually been a population spike in that year, which is now starting to affect the grade 8 this year. So there are a number of issues. Secondly, that, I also want to reiterate that there is a capacity problem in public works across the country, I think. One of the main issues that we're finding in the Western Cape is that we don't have enough, even the people that we can employ in our department, we have some infrastructure people in our department. They're simply, we're not attracting the right skills because they get paid more in the private sector. So we just can't get the people. Costs of delivery are much higher for government as well because of Treasury, again, very often. A lot of the legislative prescripts that govern us and bind us regarding supply chain processes actually make the cost of delivery far higher than it needs to be. And when we're sitting with constrained budgets, we can really ill afford that. And what we have done in the Western Cape is also reference has been made to other implementing agents. We've had a management contractor to deal with smaller works matters and emergency maintenance. And that is now, there's a possibility that it may not be approved in future, but I'm fighting that very hard that it will continue because we simply have to, we have to have other options. What public works does deliver for us, they do well, but we've just got too much to deliver and we need extra other partners to assist us. It also, we've done a study on the difference between the professional fees for management contractors versus in-house public works staff, and it's much, much cheaper. It's about, 6 to 8% for the management contractor as opposed to 15 or more for the in-house public works people. Then, as for... For the PSB, not in-house, sorry. Then the other thing that we have, I really would also like to comment on, is the municipal issues that have been raised. I mean, we really are sitting in a situation where one sphere of government is funding another sphere of government, and we're all struggling. And I think really there needs to be a look at the municipal funding model, because we sit and we have to have the municipal costs go up way more than inflation every year. Our budget doesn't. Then we have to get land for schools, to build schools. Some municipalities charge us market value, like on residential rates. And I've also raised this with DBE, and I think the minister is working on it, but for us to have to pay market rates for land residential values in municipalities to build schools is really, really, I don't think, right. And then there's ongoing, I was in Frobo the other day visiting schools, and they told me that you have to pay for sanitation fees per toilet, per physical toilet. So they don't want too many toilets. They want as many as they need for the children, but they actually don't want any extras because they have to pay extra money for services now. So it's really something that needs to be looked at across the system. Is I think special rates for schools, for example. We also are very aware of green issues, as you have raised, Chair. I've asked my department to ensure that we do build schools with solar in mind as well as drafts and water measures, given our situation in the Western Cape specifically. We've put a lot of effort into that. Then, triple P's, I have to disagree with you on that one. It's a nightmare. Absolutely not a nightmare. When I first started in this position, I was going to move into new offices. My department was getting moved into new offices with a PPP. 5 years later, it hasn't even started. It's a hugely complex regulatory environment to manage, and we just couldn't get the private partners in to actually was prepared to turn there. Solar doctors. There's another huge risk to infrastructure, as in my province, I don't know, I'm sure others too, and that is the levels of criminality that we face. The vandalism of infrastructure on an ongoing basis. We just cannot get on top of it. And we've got schools where we're trying to build new schools, trying to repair old schools, trying to replace old schools, and then every second week we get robberies. I had a number the other day. They're taking our infrastructure, they're taking our computer equipment, they're taking fences, and we just have to keep on replacing stuff. And we just can't keep up. And it's a real, real, real risk for us. And I don't know, I think if you're going to have a public works, which I would welcome, it would be really useful to also get police, I think, to come and tell you about it, because it affects our school all the time, not only the infrastructure, also our teachers and our learners, because sometimes things happen just outside the school, and that's not our mandate. I mean, we've spoken before about, can we just get on with doing our teaching children? We just can't. We've got to deal with all these other issues. Small contractors, we agree, we want to support them, but sometimes we find that they just don't cope, and then they go bankrupt, and then we sort of have a problem with the contractor. I see you nodding with Craig. As far as the budget is concerned, I've dealt with that, but of course if we didn't leave 100 billion to corruption, that would also help. And just also on the issue of giving back money, sometimes, I mean, it doesn't look good when we don't spend all our money, I completely agree with you, but sometimes we have to give back money because we are sitting with constraints put on us by our provincial treasury, for example, on salaries, where they won't allow us to go over a certain amount, and we tend to err on the side of underspending rather than overspending, because if we overspend, we're also in trouble. So just bear that also in mind, that is sometimes a reason. But other than that, thank you for that.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. It was my MEC that spoke. I'm Archie Lewis, responsible for education planning in the department, and Ms. McLean Artendorf is the Chief Director for Infrastructure in the department. I will be brief in taking you through the presentation. We merely focus more on what happened in the fourth quarter as per the communication from the committee. The first slide basically tells us about the budget. The original budget was 1.6 billion, and then during later in the year, during the adjustment appropriation budget process, the budget increased to 1.7 billion. And of that amount, and there you can see what the EIG is 1.1 billion, and equitable share, that it's a provincial share to our budget, is 588 million rand. And of that total amount of the budget, 412.7 million is being applied for maintenance. 23.7%, that is far too little to deal with maintenance of our facilities, which is one of our biggest challenges in the province. And then the expenditure, by 31st of December, the end of the third quarter, the expenditure was at 69.2%, right at the far right column. And by the end of the fourth quarter, at the end of the financial year, the expenditure was at 96.4%. In other words, there was an under-expenditure of 3.6%, which translates to 62.7 million rand. However, it's not money that we've lost, because that money has been committed, and we have already applied for a road. Two reasons for that under-expenditure, roughly, or the areas where the under-expenditure happened. One was in our drought interventions, which I will come to in a few slides further down. And then the remainder was for the procurement and placement of mobile units, and that funding has also been committed and requested for a rollover. Then the next slide, we try to summarize our achievements up to the third quarter, but then also what happened in the fourth quarter in that column. So see, new schools, in terms of our EPP, we committed ourselves to provide 9 schools. We completed, in the end, in the fourth quarter, 10 schools. 3 of them were new, 3 were city schools, and the remainder were schools that we replaced on our own program. You will be aware that in the province we are sitting with what we call plunky schools. That's part of the legacy of the old House of Reps era, and those schools need replacement. Some of them are 30, 40 years old, and we also have a process to replace those schools. Additional classrooms, we completed 47. Just in terms of our additional classrooms, we've got a program in the province. Because of the difficulty to find land, where we have schools that still have land. We engage with the school governing bodies of those schools and ask them if we can expand the school. And if the governing bodies agree, then normally at the primary school we will add another 7 classrooms just to allow for another stream of in the school. And at the high schools we provide them 5 classrooms with additional ablution facilities to take care of the additional learners that we, of course, part of our agreement is that if we do that, you will take more learners. Grade R classrooms, we completed 21 of them. Some of them, because the grade R classrooms are allocated to smaller contractors, they are struggling a little bit in terms of delivery. Scheduled maintenance, we completed 64 scheduled maintenance programs. Emergency maintenance is one of our challenges, and it has partly to do with the issue of vandalism and crime at our schools. And there you can see for the entire year we had 322 cases where we had to attend to, and mainly is when people break into toilets, they steal whatever is iron or copper and so on, and it's really a terrible issue. And then for the year we completed 10 school halls. You will know that most of our schools in our disadvantaged communities, schools were built without halls, and that is part of the legacy that we want to address. And for last year we completed 10 school halls. Fencing. Yeah, this is a headache in the province, because fencing, just as any other scrap, gets stolen and ripped off from schools, and the moment you replace it, a month later, we must go back to the school and replace the fencing. We've now decided on a new program in terms of fencing, and I will show you a picture of it, which is clear view fencing, which is a little bit more difficult to steal and also to sell. Because of the material it is manufactured of. Then you will also know that we had a terrible storm last year, which we have not budgeted for, and we completed emergency maintenance at 130 schools that was damaged in the process. For the year, we've placed 216 mobile units, and then we are also busy with a program to refurbish our current hostel fleet. You know, our hostels are old, and especially the ablution facilities and furniture in our hostels. We are in a process at least every year to attend to 10 of them and to refurbish and provide new furniture. And then there are a few pictures. That is the school halls that we are building at our schools. This one is at a school in Atlantis. That is the new fencing that we are providing at schools now. It's quite expensive. It cost us to do one school about 1 million rand just to fence one school. That is one of our new schools, the one in the Noon, Milnerton Out. That is the mobile classroom that we provide to augment for accommodation at schools. That is the ablution facilities at a school. And of course, that is the new grade R classrooms, where we have everything at one place, you know, storeroom facilities, ablution facilities for the young ones. It's all in one section. And then around the drought interventions, during the around September last year, you know, we were faced with the possibility of water running without our schools and facilities without water. And as part of that, we then implemented, as I would say, the initial interventions around helping schools. Water restrictors are gadgets or instruments that's linked to the water mains, which the principal can switch on and off or put at a certain time. For example, principal can switch it off and say by 5 o'clock the main must close. So is there any vandalism in the school during the night, especially around the ablution facilities, the main water will stop automatically. And that will help the school, of course, of losing water and having to pay for it. Then at 187 schools, we put smart water meters. Now, the smart water meter is similar than the water restrictor, but just more developed in the sense that it works with the app. In other words, the principal can manage it from his or her phone. And then if there is a leak in the system, the phone or the app will inform the principal that there's something wrong at the school, and hence the person can go and check what is wrong at the school. The second thing that the smart water meters do is that they program it in such a way that the school can pick up exactly how much water they've used for the day. In other words, the schools can control their water consumption for the day. At certain schools, yes, it saved a lot of water. I don't have the figures, and money, of course, because schools must pay the municipal accounts from the norms and standards allocation. So if they save on water, it means also the schools save on the norms and standards funding, which they can then channel into another direction at the school. We have at 407, we did an audit at our 1,506 schools, and at 406 schools, we found boreholes. But some of these boreholes were not operational. The water pumps were stolen, and so on and so on. So we are busy fixing at least those boreholes so that those schools at least can attend to themselves if we get to a point where there's no water. Then, because of the fear that if our schools run out of water, except that the water is needed for ablution facilities or for drinking purposes, the water is also necessary should there be a fire at the school and there's no water. So what we've done is we've procured 11,000 fire extinguishers, and we are distributing it among schools so that at least there are means at the school if there's a fire that fire can be killed or controlled. And then the sixth one around our drought is that we've developed a GIS tool which tells us, actually it's web-based, exactly what is happening at each school. Let me just give you that. That's just an example of what if you go onto the website. In other words, we can zero in any of our 1,500 schools, and we will see those schools on the website. It will tell us whether the school has got a ball. It will tell us whether the school has got tanks. It will tell us everything necessary. That's how we've populated it. And that is going to assist us. What we've also done with the GIS tool, especially in the metropole, we have overlaid our schools with the reticulation network, the water reticulation network, so that we could exactly see where the water network runs and where our schools are. But during our engagement with the city, to our benefit, we discovered a second network in the system which deal with the treated water. Now the treated water is a little bit cheaper than the municipal water. And we have now discovered that some of our schools, there are already 32 of our schools on that network, and they are using that water for their sports facilities. And we've discovered another about 60 schools in close proximity of the treated reticulation network, which means that we can now, and we are in the process, to link or to connect those schools also to the network. So If there are no water, at least those schools can tap into the treated for pollution facilities. The challenges, and the minister has already alluded to it, around infrastructure, the mere fact that we get into the province every year 18,000 new learners is a nightmare. Because 18,000 new learners almost translate to 18 new schools, and we can only build 10 schools per annum. So one doesn't need a lot of mathematics to understand that at some point as a province we will be in serious trouble to accommodate all the learners in the province. And that 18,000 learners is further complicated by the fact that our success in retaining more learners in the system is also contributing to our dilemma. The infrastructure budget that doesn't grow is a challenge. The steep escalation of infrastructure delivery costs, I mean, at the moment in the province we are paying for an average school around about 65 million rand, and we believe that there's something wrong, you know. And the more expensive it becomes, the less facilities we can provide. The backlog in maintenance is growing, and that's a serious concern to us. The non-availability of appropriate land, especially in the metropole, is another challenge. Even if we have the money, if we don't have land to build schools, then it's problematic. And then, of course, non-performing contractors. And the minister mentioned, and everybody mentioned, the capacity at our sister department, Public Works, is sometimes problematic. Thank you.
Thank you to Western Cape. Our two other provinces must take note of slide 12 and the matter of the app. It's the first time I hear that. It's very, very interesting. I'm taking this back to my province. Definitely yes. Because the Northern Cape is a water scarce province. So thank you, MEC, and your team. Honourable members, it's going on to 1 o'clock. Our team from Mpumalanga is catching a plane direct from Cape Town to Nelspruit that leaves around about just after 2. So we're going to start with your questions, first to them, then Free State, your flight's a bit later. I think you go via Johannesburg, if I understand correctly, from the Chief Whip, and then Western Cape is walking distance from their offices. Thank you. Sorry for that one, but... Please be to the point, members. I beg you. Please be to the point. We're running into a time constraint.
Chair, I only need clarification from them with regard. If you could look into, let me welcome your presentation. That's a normal thing. I don't want to go there because you are leaving. If you can look at the treasury presentation, that we can follow the red one. Because it was giving a high-level indicators of our provinces. So I want a specific answer from yourselves with regard to slide number 6. Let me start there. Your allocation is 750 and you spend 699, which is 23%. If you could provide a reason for the underspending there. On slide 10, Mpumalang, well done. The new schools completed, you targeted one and you built one, which is to me a good thing. You target and you build, which is a good thing.
Now, the replacement of schools. Also, you did very well. It's 5-5. No, I don't have many issues because even with your maintenance plan, you met the target, which is very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Moza Shuping, Honorable Gaila.
No, no, I welcome the presentation. I don't have any questions, but I was just going to make a proposal that in future we start with the provinces. It's much better. Let's start with the provinces, and then the department can then fill in whatever is short. Please, thank you. Proposal.
Noted. Honorable Chwangu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me take this opportunity to say thank you to Western Cape. Oh, Mpumalanga. Oh. Well, now I don't have anything to do with Mpumalanga.
Well, then you congratulate them.
Just congratulate. Can I talk about Free State?
No,
I'm talking to the chairman.
Okay, all right. Just hang on. Are there specific questions to Mpumalanga?
Because they have to leave.
Honorable Blanche, Mpumalanga?
Chairperson, no, I don't have any.
Fine. We come back to you. You can reply.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. We will welcome the comments and the other inputs. The question of the understanding. The reason was that we received the invoices very late. We are unable to process because of the volume of invoices received during the month, February and March. So because of that volume, we are unable to process those invoices, which we have drawn some lessons from it, how best can we manage it going forward. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Are you satisfied? Thank you. MEC and your team, thank you for honoring this engagement. We'd like to see you in future. Definitely, we will inform you about the meeting we are scheduling in September, beginning of October. Thank you. Right, honourable members, now for Free State and Western Cape. The same order.
Yeah. Okay, Chair. I'm also just going to speak very quickly because of time to the presentation that we received from National Treasurer with regards to the Free State. There's a difference in terms of the allocated amount. No, there's no difference in the allocated amount in terms of Free State. You were allocated that amount on slide 6. These things are too small. And you spent that accordingly. First, also, you need to be congratulated. And first, I must say, you are one province that is consistent in obtaining, you know, number one position, which is a very good thing. It must be said. You know, we must not only say bad things, we must also say good things about how you do well. On slide 10, could you explain to us here that the target, in terms of building new schools, you had to build a school, and you are standing at 0. One, you had to build only one, and you are standing at 0. And slide number 10, bro. No, I'm on number 10. New schools completed on the National Treasury, yes, and then just underneath you've got replacement of schools. You see it? All right. My question here is, in the Free State as it is, the infrastructure that you have, because you budgeted 0, so your schools are perfect. They did not need any replacement. is that the impression that I get that whenever we are in the Free State to visit schools there, no, schools are up to standard because of what is reflected here. Thank you. I'm not from Free State. I may not know the dynamics there. Honorable Shabangu may know best than me. The maintenance project, I'm not going on. In terms of your maintenance project, you have a target of 56. I only want you to explain the variance, because it's 41 that you achieved. Okay, if you could explain to me the variance. Thank you.
Honorable Gaila?
Thank you.
That's great. Honorable Shimangu?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I thought you'd talk about the operations because
that point is not on the agenda.
Well, let me skip it, but Operation Casasala cuts across every state. My only question is that of the cross-border agreement. It's very sensitive. Are we forced to help these people from the soup, even if we don't have capacity? Because they infiltrate our borders across the mountains and come and get even the pension and go back because they've got a dual membership according to what I've seen. So it's not really your problem. It's somebody's problem, Gigaba's problem. I think you must talk to the other department to cap that, because really they are frustrating people of Free State, because when they get to the clinics, they find that there's no medication. Thank you very much.
Honorable Dr. Blanche.
Chairperson, thank you. I don't have questions. I have just general remarks. I think it is even, you know, it's been common practice now, you know, that apparently public works is a problem across the spectrum. And what worries me, I'm just thinking about it, I think it's just, you know, for purposes of the report, we have public works that apparently is not performing well, and then now we create own, you know, little public works departments in each, you know, province or, you know, department. And then again, we still want to appoint other service providers. I'm just cautious about that. It's just something, Chairperson, that we need to keep in mind. And then lastly, I must say that, I'm really very proud about my province. They performed very well here this morning. Thank you, province, and thank you, Chairperson.
Alba Monakiri.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. Hopefully, as this committee, we will follow up on some of the issues that the provinces raised, the issue of rates, land, and crime, you know. I think we should be able to do something about this and report back accordingly to the provinces. As far as the Western Cape is concerned, they alluded to some of the challenges, I think, on the last slide, but they did not necessarily then say what interventions are they going to make, especially on areas where they have got the necessary competence and capacity. If they could come back and indicate, you know, are there some intervention measures that they are planning so that they are able to deal with the challenges? Others, yes, maybe it falls outside their competence, and that is why I said we may have to assist in taking up those with the relevant departments. But those that they can, are there no intervention measures that they are putting in place? Thanks.
The two provinces must respond on that. If you can't do it now, you send us your action plan. we are in a different mode since December 2017. We want action plans. We listen to challenges, but how are you addressing this? How can the NCOP assist you? Yes, that's why we're here. Intergovernmental relations. There's a huge challenge in IGR. And we must address it. Come up with an answer. Not hearing it every year for 9, 10, 15 years. I cannot. Come up with an answer. Thank you. Safety of learners is a crucial matter. Specific here in the metro of Cape Town. But also in our other centers. And the learning environment where a school is built is crucial for the performance of that school. Yes, for the educator and for the learner. We must look at the bigger picture on the members. There will be a budget council meeting somewhere beginning of August. Western Cape, talk to your MEC for finance. You call the ministers here in terms of your constitution. Let we see what we can do. Because the Division of Revenue Bill that became an act went through a serious consultation process. Serious. I think it's on page 45 of the Division of Revenue that's now an act. Go read it. Whole paragraph. How it's done. So, but we note your concern in terms of the budget and a reality, the migration of people, in this case to Cape Town, the metro, but also to Johannesburg and Pretoria. Yes. The matter of Lesotho, the matter of Botswana, the matter of Swaziland, Mozambique, Zimbabwe. Yes. People coming for what? They want a better service. That's where they come. Yes. Thank you. You may reply.
Thank you, Chairperson. In response to the questions of the honourable member regarding the planned building of a school and nothing was achieved, in the province, all projects above 10 million are built by Public Works. This is one of the projects that they did not complete. And there is an emerging risk that we'll probably talk about in a different platform. In terms of replacement, we never planned anything. Because there was no need to replace any school. Now, in the maintenance, Honorable Member, you are correct. I think it also, if I could have answered the question that was asked before by the Honorable Member regarding litigation, as to when it would come to an end. It had both great arts and some maintenance projects that were above 10 million. To give you a quick background there, Public Works regularly appointed a number of contractors on as our implementing agent. Then when the new MEC came, the HOD came in and realized that those projects were irregular. It terminated the contracts and they took Public Works to court. One of the contractors who was the first one to take them to court won the case. And he was also given an order for damages. And they settled without consulting us. We refused to pay for that amount of money because that would degenerate into fruitless and wasteful expenditure on our side because we did not appoint. So the other ones, their circumstances are different, but we liaised with the state advisors and the Office of the State Attorney to make sure that this matter is resolved expeditiously so that we can actually activate on service delivery. And the issue of Lesotho, it remains a challenge, especially against the current court case that is pending. We are, by law, we are forced to admit children. Whether they've got identity documents or even birth certificates or not, they're given a 3 months grace. But now you'll find that within that 3 months, the parents would not have assisted the process, the principal would have done what he's supposed to have done, but the child is still there.
And now the current legislation, until there is now a finality on the court case, we can't remove the children, because the easiest way was to say after 3 months go. So, but there is that pending court case. It will actually then, you know, demystify a whole lot of issues that we currently have. And health is in no better position. I think the Lesotho alone owes our provincial government a lot of money. And also, lastly, Chairperson, I needed to also answer this question around modularization of children riding metric twice. And the honorable member, I know he supports me, because when he introduced himself, he said he comes from number one province. I want to assure him that you are number one by design, not by mistake. Because the results of modularized learners are never considered for the November examinations. So it is our the hardworking teachers out there and making sure that we fulfill our strategies and we implement our interventions the way we're supposed to do. So that is, I can assure you, it's authentic, honorable member. And it's a DBE strategy. I think the colleagues are here to back me up that those learners are not counted when we write the November results.
Mr. Dayuda, question, okay?
Chair, just around our biggest challenge, of course, is accommodation. We had last year, we sponsored and spearheaded two workshops and invited some of the private sector as well as our universities to assist us in terms of how can we provide infrastructure more cost-effectively, quicker, but still quality. It was an interesting one, and out of that flew a few things that we are currently piloting, and one of them is to move away from the conventional brick-and-mortar provisioning of accommodation. And unfortunately, there is still the perception in our communities that anything that's not brick and mortar is substandard, and that is one of the biggest things that we are battling with our sectors, like school communities and our school governing bodies. For the year past, we have piloted what we call Moladi classrooms. At two schools, we built four classrooms at each school, and those classrooms were delivered cheaper, quality, and faster. So there are ways. And why we just took the two schools is that we can now invite other schools to say, go and look at those two schools and look at those classrooms and tell us whether those are substandard classrooms, you know, and hopefully this year we can follow on that pilot and do more of those schools. The second one is the issue of expansion, where we don't have land. We go to the schools that have land unused and unutilized, and we say let's expand the school, but also not to expand the school to such an extent that management cannot cope with the number of learners that you bring onto the school. So it's a sensitive matter, but that is another one. We are also looking and engaging Public Works on the methodology that they use for contractors. Normally what they use is that the JVCC contract was employer by design employer. You must help me. I'm not an expert on that field. But we are also looking at, can we provide schools quicker and faster by using light steel and lightweight steel frames and fillings, you know. So there are various things that we're trying to see how we can cope with this. But I must say the issue of budget is an issue that I hope the committee can help us with, and even if you can help us to revive and keep alive the ACD program, which helped many of schools in provinces with the replacement of schools falling apart, that will also help us. We also have tried to improve, to deal with a community uproars and protests. We have engaged with Public Works and we've refined the EPWP policy so that we make more room for communities to get involved when we have a project, and also the measures that they use to determine the quantum of the EPWP as per the contract to negotiate that, so that we can provide more work to members in the community. The last two is we are also trying to improve on our school designs, and the reason for that is to partly to help us to deal with the safety issues in our communities, but we also don't want to build schools that look like prisons, you know, and so it's a fine line that we must try and manage. And then the last one is in our department itself, to help us with capacity to provide, we have appointed management contractors that's dealing with some of our infrastructure.
Can I add one thing, Chair? Just on the DORA, just for your information, we did in the Western Cape for the first time actually reject the DORA this year because it is not responding to the requirements that we have, and in fact our constitutional obligations to provide for all the learners that we have in the province.
Yes, it's one thing to reject, but the other thing, you can't send the money back. It's a constitutional obligation. So come up with a proposal. Growing the economy? Yes. Bigger revenue? Yes. Bigger allocations. But the money must be spent wisely. Quoting the Minister of Finance. All the members, are you covered in your questions? Thank you for the reply from the Free State and the Western Cape. We acknowledge when progress is made. Yes. We appreciate when progress is made, because it's about the people outside, it's not all about us, it's about the people outside. A remark was made about the school for the deaf. We visited in the area of King Williamstown. We connected them, our delegation connected them with the school in Worcester the same day. They spoke and they would have sent a delegation to Worcester to go and look at best practices. I noted your hand.
No, the Western Cape mentioned, well done, Western Cape. Well done. North State are congratulated. Western Cape, well done. Now, what I wanted to say, Chair, was that there was 6 billion that was budgeted for drought, and I'm not sure how schools have benefited in terms of the drought relief fund that was allocated by National, because you also spoke about the drought, how it became a challenge in terms of the schools.
Are you in a position to answer, because Treasury can assist here, not today, but go back and engage on the unpacking of the 6 billion. Mrs. Gerekwa?
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to respond to the equitable share.
All right. Let me first take, then I come back to you.
Can you answer on the 6 billion? It's a figure for all the provinces that are suffering from the drought, and it has not been allocated to provinces yet. So we are making applications now, but at this point we've only reprioritized our own budget to deal with drought.
I also engaged with the chairperson of the Senate Committee on dealing with agriculture, that he must do a follow-up on that one. The unpacking of the 6 billion. Mrs. Gerekwa?
Thank you, Chair. With regards to the equitable share, every year we update the equitable share formula with the information from the mid-year population estimate. And also previously, for the education component, what we've been doing is we've been updating previously with the 10-day survey, or the snapshot survey as it used to be called. But now we have begun to use the low-risk system because it's tracking learners over time. It's not just a one-day survey, but it's throughout the year. So we're using low-risk information from now on. So just to say, in terms of the population shift, Western Cape has been on one, has well, people have moved to Western Cape, they have received that adjustment in their equitable share. It might not, because when the money comes to the province, it will not necessarily say it's for education, because remember, equitable share is a discretionary allocation for the province. They decide where they allocate it. So it's the executive council of the province that decides. So it might not have landed in education, but certainly. For example, for the 2018 MTF, the current MTF, your province, because of the data update, got 585 million over the MTF. For the 2017 MTF, the province got 618, just for the data update. So that money is with the province, indeed. Obviously, the allocation letter goes to the provincial treasurer. So just to say, the province has been compensated for the population shift. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you for that clarity. Honourable members, thank you for your engagement with our provinces. Provinces, thank you for updating us what is happening in your environment and give us instruction how we can assist you. Honourable members, that brings us to the end of this meeting. The minutes will be carried over to our meeting next week, where we will be dealing with that. This meeting stands adjourned. We are 40 minutes away from the plenary. Thank you.